We're live in Carter Subaru Studios. It's Jason and Burns. So Jesse Waters, if you don't know who he is, he does a segment for the O'Reilly Factor called Waters World. He's kind of like Bill O'Reilly's street guy, his stunt guy. He sends him out. He's terrible. He's terrible. He was trending earlier today. He was my top three trends on both Facebook and Twitter. So, of course, I had kind of sparked my curiosity. Oh, what did Jesse Waters do? My first thought is Jesse Waters died. But actually,
is that always the case when you hear anyone who is like a C-level celebrity trending? Yes. I always assume they've died.
I do too.
Every single time.
But it turns out he didn't die. In fact, he's made a segment that's probably going to be his most viewed segment of Waters World in O'Reilly Factory history, because it's got a lot of people upset.
Yes, it has a lot of special interest groups upset. It has a lot of activist groups upset because he decided to go into Chinatown to ask Chinese people about their thoughts on Donald Trump, who oftentimes demonizes
China.
And the problem is, he decided to do this in a way that played into a whole bunch of stereotypes on Asian culture.
Not just
Chinese culture,
but Asian.
Asian culture.
Do you like Donald Trump?
Yes. Hillary Clinton. Basically, it's the extension of Obama.
Who are you going to vote for?
Clinton's wife.
Clinton's wife has a name. What is it?
Oh, man. I forget it.
What do you think about Donald Trump?
I don't like it. He has a big mouth.
He can say what he wants. It doesn't really affect me. And I don't think he's going to win.
Now, outside of the music in the background, on the surface, it's not the worst thing in the world.
No, we didn't pull the right clips there. There's other things that he does.
Like the karate lesson?
How do I say in Chinese, this is my world?
You gotta say it right.
Either don't say it.
Nigo. Not Japanese, Chinese. You gotta do it properly.
Okay, teach me.
Otherwise, forget it.
Nigo hai.
Guess I guy.
That's
and then
it.
He got into other things that have nothing to do with politics.
Is everything made in China now?
Not everything.
Tell me what's not made in China.
I can't think of it right now.
Me neither. Do they call Chinese food in China just food? Do you have any traditional Chinese herbs for performance?
Just stop it. Here's the thing. Jesse Waters wins because he works for a network that's wants him to do stuff like this. Fox News is not going to fire him for doing what's been deemed a racially insensitive, because he's clearly mocking him. When you have the visual, I'm sure he's cherry picking too. Videos like this, always do. You find things that make the person you're talking to sound really dumb. You talk to 100 people, 10 come off as so stupid, and you use that footage. Mm-hmm. So that's what he's doing. That's what he always does. I remember his videos during the Occupy movement. It was the same thing. But he's the humor element of Fox News, which proves that Fox News has no humor element, because this is who they trot out when they got to make the jokes. He actually did the joke. The thing that bothers me about this is not the racially insensitive component. It's as a someone who loves comedy. This is dreadful. The fact
so
that
that's
he,
what
he did the
you.
Yes. Yes, that he's being paid to be a humorist and he's doing the joke. In China, do they just call Chinese food? That was first printed in a joke book in 1943.
Yeah, absolutely. These are hackneyed jokes. The problem is you're putting your ire towards the wrong target. It's not that you should be mad that he's not funny. You should be mad at the people who find him to be funny.
Yes.
I have to assume that the reason why Jesse Waters does this recurring bit on O'Reilly Factor now for, 2 years, is because the audience that he's talking to find some kind of enjoyment out of this.
Oh,
I'm sure they
still use Chinaman as a description of the Asian population.
He started off very low level. Every once in a while, they'd throw him out there. And then somehow he clicked in some focus group of people who watched the O'Reilly Factor, or maybe not even Fox News in general, but just the O'Reilly Factor. And they decided to elevate him and give him more time. They think what he's doing is funny. Mm-hmm. So to use logic that you've used in the past, you don't get mad that activists take control of city council in Seattle because it's the Seattle City Council that give them that control.
Yeah.
You should be mad at Jesse Waters. You should be mad at the people who find him to be funny.
Both. Because, I mean, it's the same reason that I hate the Big Bang Theory and also hate the fact that they get 18 million viewers.
Yes.
So I'm mad at both entities.
You hate the people who watch my Big Bang Theory and you hate the show itself.
We are bottom feeding,
you
know, basically entertainment, and people are lapping it up. Like Jesse Waters right now is a success, without a doubt.
I mean, of course,
he's now a prominent member of the O'Reilly Factor, which is, I'm guessing, still the biggest show on cable news networks. So he's succeeding telling terrible, old, hackneyed, dreadful jokes.
You are bad at things.
He's not even a Carnival Cruise boat act. He's below that.
He is, but you're mad at things that no one else seems to be mad at. The people are mad at the racist nature of this, or the insensitive nature in how he talks about Chinese culture.
Then here's what you do. Ignore it. Ignore the video. Because what you've done
is... just spread it.
Do people not understand that this is the Rush Limbaugh formula? This is... without MediaMatters.com, how successful is Rush Limbaugh? I don't know. Not as much. What they do, I'm sure going into this, they knew there was going to be some sort of faux liberal outrage that wasn't going to last that long, but long enough to give this 2.5 million extra clicks. Because every time I saw someone demonizing this video, they're also providing a link to it.
It's gentle fun. So yes. I know we're going to get letters. It's inevitable. But it was gentle.
It was all in good fun.
It was gentle.
Plus, the average age of your viewer is 103, so they still write letters.
Is it weird that – so when I saw that people were outraged by how racist this was, that when I watched it, I'm like, I thought it would be way worse.
Yeah, I did too.
But didn't you think it would go real – if you think about it, it wasn't nearly as bad as I think some people are claiming. Because I think it's hackneyed and lazy,
yeah,
and not necessarily coming from a place of I'm purposefully trying to be offensive to people who are Chinese. Like, I don't think that he was trying to be racist. I think he was trying to be funny.
In like a kimono.
Yeah.
Or something like that, something he identified with Asian culture. If he did the accent or something like, or if he pulled his eyes close to do Asian eyes, yes, then it didn't go nearly that far. Here's another thing that bothers me about it, though. It's cowardly, because he'll go and do this in an Asian neighborhood. You know what? Another group that Donald Trump's been talking a lot about? The African-American vote.
He's not going into African-American
Jesse
community.
Waters, I dare you, if you're the true man on the street, go to a black neighborhood and talk to black people the way you talk to the Asian people.
The biggest problem, I think, and you're kind of touching on it, is that he wasn't funny. If he was funny, and there was a point to it, it would be different. Case in point, remember the Stephen Colbert issue where he was an Asian man. I can't remember what it was, but I don't even remember what he was mocking at the time. But he did something that most people thought was really, really, really funny. And he played into the stereotypes to make fun of people who were upset with something like this. Did you find it up there?
Yeah, it was back when he was talking about the Redskins. He made up a name that was it reinforced some Asian stereotypes, and people were upset about that.
What was the name? Do you remember?
He was doing it as a way to make fun of people who don't think that the Redskins is offensive.
A joke about racism, not a racist joke.
Exactly. And yet some people, some activist groups, or at least one very, very vocal one, went on Twitter and somehow it exploded, trying to get him fired.
Yes, I remember that.
The reason it didn't go anywhere is because – and this, by the way, was at the time where he was in talks to take over – for David Letterman.
Yep.
It went nowhere because it was funny, because people understood what the humor was about and what the point was trying to be.
And he didn't apologize, which Jesse Waters kind of sort of
did. He didn't apologize.
But not to the point where
he regretted. He basically said he regrets.
He regrets if you were offended, which is my favorite.
He should not apologize.
No, I don't think
he should absolutely not apologize. I am 100% against anyone apologizing.
Agreed.
Because they're 95% of the time you're not actually sorry. The 5% of people who actually are legitimately sorry, you just made the situation worse. And if you are legitimately sorry, I feel bad for you saying that and then being piled on by a bunch of people who smell just a little bit of weakness or the blood in the water.
It's admission of guilt that, yeah, I did. I'm sorry. I made a racist piece. And then they have that on record and they don't take an apology and say, OK, you apologize. Let's move on. It becomes Exhibit B. In the case against you, it just amplifies their case and makes their voices louder. So Jesse Waters, I don't expect nor do I want an apology. I just think that you're a hack and you're cowardly, because there's comedians who joke about race and about racial stereotypes well, really funny, and they don't get flack for it. Chris Rock, absolutely.
Louis
C.K. was the better example.
Yeah.
Although he's technically Hispanic, he's just a white guy. And he goes to the point where he says the N-word, but you can see that it's a joke, and it's a joke about racism, and he's not saying it because he's racist. And that Jesse,
and he does the same thing with his gay character.
Yes,
he goes overboard, and it's hysterical.
It's hot out today,
he gets super graphic, but he does it for a point.
Mm-hmm.
Now you may not like his point, and I suppose you may not think it's funny, But the majority of people do who are fans of Louis C.K. Louis C.K. got to the point of where he is because of that humor. He makes rape jokes. He did an entire episode of Louis on FX in which he sexually assaults a girl he's interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so incredible. Slate did their pieces and The Atlantic did their pieces just ripping into this is an example of rape culture, completely missing the point as to why he did what he did and how he did it. Completely missing the point. And again, average people kind of give people a pass when they understand. Or at least fans of people give it a pass. The people who were offended by it probably don't like anything.
They don't like Louis
like
C.K. anyway.
Louis C.K.
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't. And the most successful humorist, because at some point you're going to tell a joke that someone deems crossed the line. Did Family Guy cross the line last night? If you just move on, don't apologize, don't even address the criticism, people will move on to the next thing. And then what you've done there is you've built equity for yourself. Mm-hmm. The next time you do this joke, you know you're going to get less heat for it because people realize I can't bring you down with my outrage.
Well, let's be very clear about something. When you are offended, you are offended. Your emotions are not fact. Your emotions are nothing but your own, right? That and I say this somewhat lightly, but I kind of mean it. That's a you problem.
Mm.
You being offended by anything, even things that I might agree are offended, that's our problem. That's not the problem of the person who chose to make the joke or make the statement. You have total control over your own feelings. If you're somehow triggered by a joke, if you're somehow just going into a tailspin of I can't believe someone said this, my life is crumbling, you've got a problem. That is on you. That is not on the person who decided to make a joke. Comedy, especially when we're talking about comedy. Comedy is supposed to make you uncomfortable.
Yes.
Comedy, the good kind, is supposed to make you think. But you know what? The best kind sometimes just makes you laugh. The realization that you just laughed at a joke about some of the worst possible things in the world. I mean, that takes skill.
I'm trying to abrasiveness is an essential element to comedy. There's one comedian I can think of that I would be comfortable sitting there with my mother. It's Brian Regan. He just does absurdist stuff. He brags about being totally clean, and he is very funny. Every other comedian.
Seinfeld.
Yeah, I agree. Seinfeld, too.
Bill Cosby before.
Bill Cosby, I even cringe now, and I saw him before I knew about all the pills and rapey stuff. And, thinking about being in that. But you're right. Same sort of thing. By and large, when you think about the best comedians, they're going to delve into uncomfortable territories. There's going to be someone in the audience who was personally affected by something that they joked about. I remember Joan Rivers once was making a joke about cancer. An audience member yelled out, "How dare you? My wife died of cancer," or something like that. And she shuts him down like, "Sir, I mean, all of our lives have been affected by cancer. This is how we stave off the sadness so we all don't slit our throats when we wake up in the morning. We laugh about it."
Yeah.
It's why I think when someone says too soon about any sort of tragedy.
It's never too soon.
It's never too
soon.
It's
literally never too soon.
And all jokes about any issue in my mind, because I hold comedy sacred, should only be judged by this. Funny, not inappropriate, not appropriate, not inoffensive, offensive. Everything's on the table. Everything should be able to be joked
and
about.
And by the way, when you determine a joke not to be funny, that doesn't mean anything other than you personally didn't
Correct.
Find it funny. That's all that means. It means you personally, the person who was listening to this bit on the radio, the person who's watching the movie in the theater, it means you personally did not find it funny. It doesn't mean the joke is not funny. It doesn't mean the joke is inappropriate. It doesn't mean that the person should be fired for making the joke and you should go on Twitter and go on this rampage to boycott a film or a comedian. That's not what that means. It means you personally didn't get it. And that's okay. You have to be understanding of you're not always going to laugh.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Because
your world is not somehow worse because you did not laugh at a joke, because you did not find something funny.
If you go to a show after your wife died of cancer and Joan Rivers tells a cancer joke, you're probably not going to laugh. But you probably did laugh at the 80 other jokes that could have offended somebody else in the room.
Yeah.
So you can't silence a woman because one of her jokes hit home for you. Too bad.
There's a constant narrative, particularly of comedians who are now refusing to go on college campuses for this exact thing because there are so many people who are in the audience or on campus.
Chris Rock has said this.
Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld has made this point.
Seinfeld was never doing college campuses anyway.
He could have. But they're going now elsewhere because it's just not worth it. It's not worth it. I watched this documentary and they basically go to this one seminar or not a symposium of some kind of conference of some kind once a year, and you do stand up in front of a bunch of people who are with colleges and are making the determination if your content is right for the college campus.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
And you have to do stand-up, and sometimes you won't get a job. And your whole career could be over because there are a lot of comedians who make their living going to college campuses because you say one joke that maybe had a microaggression against some protected community on a college campus. And it could be a fat joke. Or, well, you know, we don't do that because that makes fat people, overweight people a little uncomfortable.
You know who literally had an entity just like that? Communist Russia. They actually had a ministry of jokes. I know this sounds like an onion story. This is not made up. This is completely true. Before you performed in public in Russia, you had to do your act in front of the ministry of jokes, and then they were able to remove the jokes they thought were inappropriate. That's happening. That's happening now. I don't think to the extent that, you know, Chris Rock or Jerry Seinfeld thinks that it is. But it is indeed happening. And that frustrates me more than anything else, because one, you know who's watching the most offensive comics? You know who watches Louis, who watches Amy Schumer, the most deemed offensive comic? It's the kids. They can take these jokes. They can laugh along with these jokes. It's the adults in the room that are deeming them too abrasive for their precious ears.
It's not the adults in the room, per se. It's like the 1% of the audience. And sometimes those are the adults and the administrators. Sometimes it's the, you know, the hardcore activists on a college campus who are saying, oh, you've somehow shamed us, and thus we can no longer live our lives comfortably because we heard something we disagree with. And they're the ones, in so many cases, they have so much power. Mm-hmm. And that's a shame. It's a shame when it comes to comedy, but it's more of a shame when it comes to legitimate conversations of important topics that we should be talking about. Everything from rape culture to guns on campus. Like, we should be having these conversations openly. But because there are a couple of people on campus who are very, very loud and angry all the time, who deem the rest of the campus can't handle the conversation, you've just stopped it.
Yeah.
You've just stopped it in its tracks. And how are you growing? Like, first of all, how are you growing? But how are you enjoying life? Like, how do you have fun?
What are you laughing at? That's what I want to know.
Like, excuse this very privileged statement for you to make there, Zach Burns. The truth is, why would you be laughing when there's so much suffering in
the
world?
Like,
that's why you should be laughing.
Yes, that's how. Because if you take a second and absorb all the sadness and all the terror that's happening on the
why
planet
live?
At any
kill
time.
Kill yourself at that
honestly.
Point, right? Why would you want to go
the
on
depression
without
would be soul-crushing.
Any? Wouldn't it? I mean, like, I think about that personally. If I took all humor out of my life personally, I'd have nothing but stress and loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I want to go on? Why would I want to continue to live a life filled with stress, slights on a regular basis, and the fact that I have no one in my life that loves me?
And you can't, like, name a good joke about harmony and good deeds. it's always about the darkness of man, the atrocities that we've committed in the past, the fact that stereotypes, harmful as they may or may not be, exist, and you mock them, and you mock them, you shine a light on them, and then we can take that ugliness that is humanity and have a chuckle at it.
Tell us your most offensive and inappropriate joke by going to our Facebook page at facebook.com.
Well, let's start taking some calls.
Jason and Burns.
The worst you got.
And Senna don't know. But you can text us at 98973.
Jason M. Burns, 97.3, Cairo Radio. Now, this next story, if true, is unfortunate, although I'm having difficulty believing it. Seems that 911 pocket dials are overwhelming 911 operators.
There is no way that this is true. King County says 1 in 5 calls are accidental, and in most cases, they're butt dialing. Maybe I'm vastly overestimating the amount of people in King County that have smartphones that act like typical smartphones. I have an iPhone, iPhone 6. It's not even the latest one. It's the last one. To get to there's two ways that you can dial 911 on this thing. You can swipe or put your thumbprint on the home bar and then go to the phone and then physically dial 911 and then hit send. Or you can swipe to the left, right? And then you have to hit emergency. And then you're able to do it. So I can swipe to the right and then hit emergency. How is that happening accidentally?
It's happened to me.
How?
I don't know.
I don't believe you.
I didn't even know. I swear, I didn't even know it happened.
What were you doing?
I was walking down the street. My phone was just in my front pocket.
Skinny jeans?
Yeah. Always. Always. Gotta show the outline. And
it's not impressive.
I didn't know that I'd done it because the phone was in my pocket. And then the only reason I knew it happened is because, you know, they picked up and no one answered. They called back. They made the decision to call back to make sure if everything was okay. And I felt really, really bad because, you know, this is obviously I'm wasting valuable resources here. I could. It's never happened again. And never actually has my phone even been on the emergency.
How long ago was this?
3 years.
And this was an iPhone?
It was an iPhone. I mean, it wasn't your iPhone. It was a couple models previous, but it's pretty much the same procedure to get to the emergency screen. So 1 in 5 sounds high to me. I mean, that's a lot. But why would they lie about this?
I think they are getting enough that they want to just throw out a scary statistic because it is bad when you dial 911 when you shouldn't, right? I mean, that can, in theory, take away the valuable time of a 911 operator who will not be able to answer an actual emergency.
How would you prevent this from happening? If it's a butt dial.
They put out a PSA that just says be more aware of it. But again, if you're not aware of a butt dial to begin with, what could you possibly do other than turn off your phone to prevent this?
Yeah.
Right? And how often the reason why I question the PSA idea as well is
You're calling them liars, basically, is what you're doing. You're saying they're flat out lying to us.
It's not that I'm a little.
That's what you're doing.
I think, but
that's
I think
a bold
it's a
position.
It's a smart lie if they think that this is the problem. But my issue is
and
you have a PSA, fine, but you have a PSA that says don't butt dial. Basically, be more aware of this. Okay, first of all, a butt dial means you didn't do it on purpose and it was through no fault of your own. You had it, as you said, in your pocket of your skinny jeans and you're walking down Capitol Hill trying to show off. Or what's the likelihood? You see now this has happened, right? You have butt dialed 911. Oops. PSA comes on, says don't butt dial anymore. Mm-hmm. Be more aware. Before that PSA, what was the likelihood of you butt dialing twice?
Well, I think what it does is it altered my behavior because since that day, I don't put my phone in my pocket anymore. I hold it above my head as I walk down the street just to eliminate any possibility that I'm accidentally wasting 911 resources.
I
felt so bad about it.
It doesn't make any sense.
I almost considered like making up an emergency. Like, yeah, I'm actually being attacked right now. He ran away.
But texted in the sense of I had my text open. I had my phone open and my text was on, right? I had it up on the screen. I put it in my pocket. Or I put it in my jacket and my hand is just touching it by accident and I hit something and then it somehow sends, or at least I look at the phone, oh man, I just have all this gibberish up here. I'm glad I didn't send it. Like, that's happened to me before. That makes sense. But that could, the chance of that happening for 911 with an open phone, again, at least on an iPhone, is very difficult. Now, maybe there are a lot of people out there who have phones that are not iPhones or your typical Android. I don't know what the Windows phone is, for example. Maybe they don't. Maybe it's a little bit easier to accidentally butt dial.
It's hard not to dial 911 on some of those phones, I understand. They're really poorly. The design is awful.
I'm not quite buying the numbers. I'm suspicious of that.
Liars, that's what you're saying.
Or maybe there's a lot of people who are dialing 911 because they're in like a bad circumstance. And then they get caught by the person who they're dialing 911 on, and they lie to the operator.
Someone's lying here, though.
I just don't believe that 1 in 5 calls are, in most of those cases, are butt dialed.
And you're going on the record.
How often do you get butt texted or dialed?
Butt texted, I mean, really, for me, not years, but you have to go another step. You have to then enter your code to get to me. Like, with an emergency, you don't have to enter that code. So the likelihood of happening.
At some point, experience this on our own at least once, right? I mean, if 1 in 5 accidental dials are butt dials, wouldn't we personally experience at least one in our lifetime?
Well, I mean, maybe not. And that's why you got to stick to your guns. You called them out as a bunch of lying idiots.
Yeah. Well, you added the idiot part. I mean, I'm not disagreeing
drunken,
with that.
Drug abusing idiots and stick to that. Do that. You're allowed to have hard takes. This is a hard take.
Hashtag hot take.
Hot takes. Yeah.
Meanwhile, there is a little bit of a controversy in news that should neither be news nor controversial. It happened in Pennsylvania. There is a company there called Party City. Party City provides balloons and party supplies. Yeah. It is exactly what it sounds like.
oddly enough, they are some of the most depressing stores you've ever been into.
It's almost like Spencer's. You walk in, you're like, I don't understand any of this. I don't know why I'm here. I can't foresee myself buying anything, and you're making me sad. Like, it's a happy place that makes you sad. Unless Spencer's wants to be hire me to endorse, which you should go to spencers.com/rants. So Carly Lane went into a Party City in Pennsylvania, and she wanted to buy black and blue balloons for a memorial of her brother, who is or was a police officer who passed.
Mm-hmm.
So she's there. She's talking to the clerk, and the clerk would not allow her, would not service her needs for these balloons.
How can you not support a police officer? It doesn't matter. They don't know my brother. They don't know what kind of man he was. They don't know what he did in his job, and it just hurts. This world is just so crazy, and I hear that, and I'm like, that's just not right.
So, and she's right, it's not right, and this employee apparently doesn't like cops, and another employee ended up helping her. So Carly goes on her Facebook page and talks about it, and it spreads, and then it gets the attention of WPXI and CNN and all of these other places. Party City responded, quote, they have absolutely do not condone this type of behavior and are taking the situation very seriously. So they're investigating.
Don't you wish that they supported the employee in a weird way? Like, yeah, this guy was right. Cops suck. The only good cop is a dead cop, signed Party City, the home for all your party needs.
Hashtag pigs. Yeah, like, exactly. If that was the story, that's news. That there's some loser retail clerk who doesn't like cops and refuse service on a company that does not hold that position and is investigating and will likely fire this person if, in fact, they did that. That is not news. That we should not be shocked that there are bad employees out there. We should not pretend that every single employee, whatever they do, is a representation of the company. If you go to a Starbucks and the barista says something mean to you, that's not a story unless they refuse to fire someone and they've got proof, right? Unless, as to your point, they hold the position that barista holds. Why do we pretend? And why do we allow ourselves to fall into this silly, nightmarish scenario of what you post on your Facebook wall because it gets 1,000 likes? Somehow that makes it news.
Because personal experiences shared on Facebook have become news. That's why.
But it's bad. It's wrong. Well, it's boring.
The weirdest thing about it is I still don't get why you bring balloons to memorial service.
That was really what you were most interested
in. I don't understand that. Have you ever been to a funeral and just next to the casket there's just balloons floating around?
Yeah, they're just flowers.
Flowers. That's it. Flowers,
but isn't
cards
it weird?
Of condolence.
So for a funeral, after the funeral, you usually go over to someone's house and there are cookies out. I mean, that's kind of weird, right?
Because eating is somehow comforting.
Yeah, but cake and cookies, it's like that's what you have at parties, right? Not necessarily in memoriam of someone's death. But maybe that's part of it, though.
Well,
maybe that's the
coping. If you're going to serve a meal at a post-funeral reception, dessert's part of the meal. It's rude if you're going to serve a meal to not have a dessert.
Yeah, but it's after a funeral and the party's like, okay, ice cream time.
Let's get the cake. Etsy. And there's all sorts of balloons. The only funeral balloons I'm seeing are for pets, which is ludicrous because they say you are loved, you are missed, you are remembered. Pets can't read. I've never actually had a funeral for a pet. Usually the pet's life ends at the veterinarian's office.
You don't get an urn? I've got urns. I've got ashes of my pets.
98973, perhaps I'm off base on this. I mean, I've attended quite a few funerals in my life, and I don't remember either at the actual funeral or in any sort of reception after seeing balloons. Maybe I'm just forgetting
I've only
them
gone to
being there.
Two, and they were family affairs. And
Let's say you die, which you are inevitably going to rather soon,
probably,
either due to your psychological well-being or your failing health. Would you like balloons? And if so, what sort?
Poop emoji. Because that's really...
You got it. You
a representation
got it,
of my life.
You got it. That'll be what I provide for you.
Thanks.
Jason Burns, 97.3, Cairo Radio. Jason M. Burns, 97.3, Cairo Radio. I'm Zach Burns. That's Jason Rance. And your community has made some progress today. And I want to say congratulations. I don't think it's as important as getting the gay community.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I've got two at least.
That's true. Yeah,
three. Wow. I'm going to throw conservative in there.
That's right. No progress for that today. But the gay part of you now has the opportunity. I bet when you were watching all those ghost hunter shows,
I'll tell you,
you
exactly
were probably
what I thought.
Thinking, yeah. Where are all the gay ghosts? Well,
it's
good
not
news
inclusive.
For you. No, they only went after straight ghosts. This is again, I feel like this is the second story we've done tonight where it sounds like this is an Onion story. This is the real deal, Holyfield. I saw this at NBCNews.com. There's going to be a new web series of ghost hunters who are gay themselves and will be looking for gay ghosts.
Well, don't stop saying gay. It's queer. Queer ghost hunters. They're not saying that they're gay. Lori Gum, I think, is the leader of the queer ghost hunters. They're based out of Ohio. Here she is talking about her pursuit.
I'm always interested in sort of seeing if I can find lesbian ghosts.
We're lesbians, too, and we have the car right there. If any of you would like to join us in the car now, you can come with us.
Now, their argument is when you consider that a lot of these ghosts on these shows are found in prisons that have since been abandoned, insane asylums, theaters, the queer ghost hunters there say it doesn't make any sense for us to assume that every single one of these ghosts are straight and cis.
We decided that it was weird that we always assume that ghosts are heterosexual. The places that most ghosts are found, we were the people in those places.
I mean, I guess that's true. I mean, are ghosts, do they have a sexual orientation
as
at
someone,
all?
As someone who watched the Ghost Hunter show, the guys who were plumbers and then ghost hunted at night, it was a total sham. Like, just some dust would fly by the camera, and they'd be like, ghost!
Yeah. So it was a breeze. It was literally a breeze.
It was a breeze, yeah. And it's like, do you feel chill over here? Meanwhile, they're in a dirt-filled basement. Like, yeah, it's cold
it's
down
cold.
Here.
It's cold! The AC is on.
Could you imagine if, let's say this group does find definitive evidence of, you know, what would then be the afterlife. Some sort of afterlife. They find a ghost. And the first thing they ask is, you gay? Oh, sorry, you queer? And what if the ghost says, no, I was actually married to my lovely wife for 45 years. Not interested then.
they stop filming, yeah, erase that. It's just a waste of tape. And they keep going, well, one of these days we're going to find a queer ghost. Is there value to finding a gay ghost versus a straight ghost? Like,
well, you see, because I don't think the ghost hunters, they were just looking after a ghost. They were just desperate to find anything because they had to fill 44 minutes a week. Think about how much you've narrowed the playing field now in terms of supernatural elements that you're going to be trying to find. Not ghosts, just gay ghosts. I can't wait to watch this.
This is literally the only time that I can accurately say that if I was in this position, I would not see race. I would not see or care about gender. I would not care about sexual orientation. I would only see ghost staring at me.
Yeah. That's all that matters. Ghost, not ghost.
I still wonder if ghosts can, do ghosts have sexual urges towards other ghosts?
I would assume so.
Why would you make that assumption, though? They're invisible, right?
Because everything with a ghost is an assumption. Because they're not real. So any sort of thing that you project onto how a ghost behaves is an assumption. Because no one's actually ever found a ghost. Because if you still believe in ghosts and you're over the age of 11, you're an absurd person.
There's something wrong with you. Speaking of which, Coast to Coast is up next. What's their lead story? Ghost?
Enjoy.
It's Jason and Burns. Send us your Facebook messages. Facebook.com/Jason and Burns.